I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect. Welcome to Perfect Mode. And first off, I want to start by telling y'all that we love y'all. We're grateful for the opportunity to be anywhere sharing our thoughts and hopefully helping you realize that you are perfect. And the reason why I can say that unapologetically is because I know for a fact you are one of one, numero uno. You cannot be replicated, duplicated. And the only reason you'll be saying that I'm not perfect if I'm looking at this person on the side of me and saying I'm not them. But guess what? You are you, and that's all you need. And we are here today to talk about beyond motivation, harnessing the power of pure enthusiasm. What up, Jay? It's my boy Jay Clay, spiritual rapper and teacher. And I, you know, of course, you're truly Troy Washington, your friend, neighborhood realtor. So what up, Jay?
What up? Happy day. Happy perfect day to all my perfect people in perfect land doing the perfect thing at the perfect place at the perfect time. All this perfectness all around. Appreciate y'all being with us on this beautiful Sunday day. You know, we got to get the announcements out the way. So tomorrow we are doing a water fast, 24 hours or 24 hours when you last ate today. Join us. It's cool. Yeah, got the water. Tastes good. Everything. Also join our Patreon. Support your boys if you want to hear more content like this and join the community. It's a beautiful community. We get to share ideas. You get to vote on shows and all this. But yeah, man, I really want to talk about harnessing the power of pure enthusiasm, which is going beyond motivation. Yeah.
So funny enough, bro, first of all, I was so enthused when the song came on. I actually got into it. And I almost forgot to bring us up because I was really into it. I tried to lock into, you know, the whole thought process. But, you know, a million things ran through my head when I thought about beyond motivation or beyond motivating or beyond the motivation that's given. And, you know, I tried to really, you know, figure out what that really meant to me. And the funniest part about it is I could not think of a definition. I could not articulate verbally how I felt when I was trying to, you know, dive into this. And what I concluded was it's this feeling that you can actually feel. At least that's how I felt in the moment. Even, you know, when the show was starting up, I felt like it was beyond motivation because it didn't take anything for me to be here. But I want to know what your thoughts were when you came up with this topic.
Yeah. So when I first thought about this, sometimes, you know, when people procrastinate, it's because they lack motivation. They're not motivated. You know, when you have motivation, you're like, yeah, let's get it. Let's do this. But then there's enthusiasm, which is a little bit different. You have that energy. You have that fire. And I had looked up the difference because I wanted to see, like, what's the difference between motivation and enthusiasm. And basically, motivation is kind of based on external factors. Like, you motivate me, or this motivated me. I heard this talk, I saw this podcast, I read this book, it motivated me. But enthusiasm is where it's internal, it's that internal fire. Like, you just like, man, I'm enthused, I'm inspired, I'm ready to get it. I'm ready to do this no matter what anybody says. I'm very enthused about this. And I wondered if there's a way to even harness that. To use it to our advantage. Like, you know, we might fill our lives with inspirational things so that we can be motivated, you know, be around motivational people. You are a motivational speaker. Now, but on the enthusiasm side, how can you have it? How can you always harness it where you don't have to rely on motivation as much?
So again, that's the tricky and the funny question, right? Because like I said, when I thought about this and I was really trying to understand, funny enough, that my thought of how I felt is exactly what your definition was. Because I told you it was something that I could not articulate. It was something that I felt. But the funniest thing, I guess, to start out is there have been things that I don't feel like I was motivated to do before, or I wasn't enthusiastic to do it either. And I put on what I felt like was a fake enthusiasm, like where I was just like, I allowed it to bubble up in me. So I was like, I'm about to be hyped no matter what. And so I had this this yelling, shouting enthusiasm in me, even though it wasn't real. And funny enough, in some of these instances where I've done this before, I ended up being enthused for real or motivated after the fact. Now, again, I know that there's kind of like a tug and pull here because, you know, I guess the topic, thinking about it up front, is like, well, why do I even have to go through this fake sense of enthusiasm in order to really use the power of enthusiasm to kind of lift me to where I need to be, right? Yeah. But I only brought that up is because there have been times where I have neither been motivated nor enthused, and I created a fake level of enthusiasm, which however you do that, I don't know how to explain yet, but it kind of propelled me to the point where I was able to look back and be like, dang, this is fun, or this is exciting, or I do have the energy. And then once I determined that it was fun and I had the energy, I was motivated to do it. But go ahead, Jay.
So, yeah, I want to ask about that because I know you said it's hard to articulate how to have fake enthusiasm, but that might be the gateway to having real enthusiasm. It sounds funny, but like, can you go through that process? Is it you just going through the motions of what you think you would be like to be enthused about something? Is it something else you do? Is it movement? What is
right?
It?
So it's, again, it's in my imagination what I feel like enthusiasm would look like, right? Because I know, and I say it that this way because I know that we all imagine things to be fun or exciting just depending on how our life is. But as an example, the best way that I could say it, even though I am always enthused to do our show, I love being on this, right? But funny enough, before our show, when the theme song is on, before we come up, we always just be like, we always excited. Like, and again, we don't have to do those things in order to come on and do what we're doing. But there is also a level of enthusiasm that's created outside of the enthusiasm that we already have because we started to dance. And so when we start to dance, so when we come on, we really like, okay, let's go ahead and do this. And so when I think about these other situations that I might experience where I'm not enthused or motivated to do it, I would create something like that. So I would start to look at it from a magical standpoint, like, ooh, when this starts, I'm about to go hype, go harder. And I get myself excited. And again, it's not real, but what happens is as I get into it, the way that I think about it, I feel like I open myself up to all the possibilities of whatever it is I'm doing. And so I stop being singular mind focused. And when I stop being singular mind focused, I'm able to see other things that are interesting or other things that I can bring to the table, the things that I feel like are the value in me that's going to add to whatever I'm doing. And once I'm able to identify that, then my level of enthusiasm and motivation completely changes. Go ahead.
So before I respond, I want to say to anybody watching, like if you have examples of how you've harnessed enthusiasm or, you know, just share that or where you tapped into it. But I'm glad you said what you said about the pre-show, Troy, because people that are watching this, like behind the scenes, when the opening theme is on, we can see each other. So like, I like to start with movement too, because I figure I could be in a more enthusiastic space if I just start with movement. Like just sitting here, I could be like, yeah, welcome to the show. But if I move, I'm more prone. Like I raise my chances of being enthusiastic. But what happens is like, I see you doing it too. So now it like something happens in me. Well, it's like, now I'm getting motivated by you. It's the outside force, but it's also building up this enthusiasm in me. And the thing is like, if if we can maintain a level of enthusiasm for whatever we're doing, we can always get stuff done. We can always do what we set out to do. I mean, like the number one reason businesses fail or people just stop doing something is simply because they lost their enthusiasm. And if we can use the power of enthusiasm, like I'll put it like this, I've had nights where I don't sleep and then the next morning I'm not tired, but it's not because of anything wrong with me or I'm trying to stay up late or anything. It's just pure enthusiasm. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm having fun. And it's like you can just go with no falling off in a sense. And I'm enthusiastic to figure that out if it's figure outable.
Yeah, and I think too, I think that again it's tied to what our outlook is on whatever it is that we're trying to be enthusiastic or motivated to do. Because a lot of the things that we do in life are so routine that we start to look at them as, I don't want to say beneath us, but we're always looking beyond the level that we're on, right? And so we normalize stuff that shouldn't be normal. So like getting up and going to the grocery store, when you go to the grocery store on a weekly basis, it's like, I'm going to go to the grocery store so that way I can get my stuff. So there's no enthusiasm to do it because it's a part of your routine. It's a mundane thing that you have to do in order to just get to the next thing in your life that you need to do. And I think that, you know, simple enough, if I perceive it as a journey or perceive it as a, you know, something that's going to be fun, then I can in turn open my mind up to, now this is again me visualizing and saying, okay, the trip to the store is going to be fun today because my kids are going to be with me. I know that they're going to try to grab everything in the store, and I'm going to see how many times I'm going to be able to tell them no before we get out. And my magic number is 200. So now it's like, okay, when I get to this store, I'm going to start counting as soon as I get there. And so now it's no longer the routine that I'm normally used to. And there's a bit of enthusiasm because now I've opened up my world to see more trees. I'm not saying that the only Al that I'm going to go to is Al 7 because it has the mustard, mayonnaise, and ketchup, and I don't want to see anything else. And, you know, just that future outlook on it, I think, or reframing the way that we actually see the way that we do things is a big part of in changing the enthusiasm to do them. Go ahead.
Okay, I like that. So it sounds like you're saying look for the fun in whatever it is you're about to do. Even if it's the most boring thing, just see if there's something fun in there to be enthusiastic about. Okay. And so something I want to add, but I don't want to say this because it's like, it's almost like a lack mindset, not a lack, but when you brought up the grocery store example, I was very enthusiastic to go to the grocery store last week because we were doing our fast. And I did something that I just don't normally do. I planned my meals. I was like, ooh, I'm gonna make this week. I'm gonna get these groceries, and I was very happy throughout that entire process, even though we were fasting. Now, when we were fasting, I didn't feel like I was hungry, like I was gonna die, or like I wasn't gonna make it to the allotted time that we set for our fast. But I was still very enthused about eating, and so it made that whole process great. Even coming home, putting up the groceries, everything was I was very enthusiastic about that process, and. And I'm trying to think, like, is it lack? Because it's not really lack, but it's something in that. But I don't know what it is.
I'll add this too. Instead of saying look for the fun, I would say look for the uniqueness of the situation. I mean, because the reality of it is, the uniqueness is, I think, what opens up the door for the other things. So the uniqueness of your situation for going to the grocery store was we were coming off of a fast. And because we're coming off of a fast, you were thinking like, now I can, because of my fast, I really can eat anything. Now my doors are open to everything. What do I really want to eat? And it caused you to be even more creative in your thought process of how you want to go about it. Do I want to take my time cooking this? Do I want like, but now, because now the circumstance is different, even though it's the same situation that you do all the time. You go to the grocery store all the time. And same thing with me, like, driving my kids to school in the morning. Like when I take the same pathway every single day, it becomes boring. And the crazy thing is I don't even have to say it out loud because there's a feeling in me like, I'm about to drive this pathway, right? And so I told you I do these things in the car to change the dynamic of the air of the car. And it's mostly because of me, because how I'm feeling about, you know, my pathway. But something as simple as me changing the pathway that I went to school made me more enthusiastic about doing it. And it's because, number one, I still could have identified the uniqueness and the pathway that I was going, but because I go it so much, I didn't want to look at it that way anymore. So I forced myself by taking a different pathway to have to look at different things. And then, you know, I'm able to witness a uniqueness. So and the reason why I point at both is because I want to continue to push the mindset that there's no like moments. Every moment can be unique. And because we've already deemed them to be the same as the one before, there is no uniqueness nor no enthusiasm in order to experience it. Go ahead, Jay.
I love that. So yeah, so and you answer my question. Like, so it's not that it's lack. It's just doing something new, taking the path less traveled, just to do something different. So in the case of fasting, like I eat every day. I eat multiple times a day. But then to not eat for a specific amount of time, that's something new. Even though I've done it before, it's still its own experience. So it garners that enthusiasm, not only for after the fast, but even during it. Like, okay, what can I do now that I have all this time available? Because we don't realize how much time it actually takes to eat. And, oh, go ahead.
No. And I just wanted to kind of piggyback on that.
Yeah.
When you come off of the fast, because you have not been eating, you can eat the same thing that you've eaten before a million times, but your level of enthusiasm for that thing is times 10.
Yeah.
Like, you're so enthusiastic, grateful, motivated, appreciative. It changes everything. And it could be the same burger that you ate, or the same banana, or the same popcorn that you've been eating, you know, for your entire life. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, and even with me planning meals, because like you said, I could eat whatever I wanted to. I did want the new stuff, but I was still excited when I finally made my rotation back to what I normally eat, because there's a new appreciation of it. And in many ways, you can say that enthusiasm is following your passion in the moment, because a lot of times we don't. Like you might see given the driving example, you might see something or a path you want to go down, but you never consider it because you're like, well, I got to go this way because of traffic. I got to be here at this particular time. But who knows? It's probably its own adventure if you were to just turn right all of a sudden, just off instinct, because you saw something that looked funny going down the street or something. So, yeah, okay.
Look, bro, not like real talk. Yesterday, while we were out driving around, me and Chardonnay, we celebrated our anniversary this weekend. So one thing we went to go do yesterday was we went to a little outside spot where they serve like street tacos, barbecue, hamburgers, and things of that nature, right? And so I always like to kind of map out my pathway that I'm going to drive. I just kind of look on GPS and see where it's at, right? And so I told myself yesterday, I was like, okay, I looked at it on here. Now I'm going to try to drive here without looking at the GPS. I don't even want to look at that mud, right? And so I drove. And again, this is not a pathway that I haven't gone before. I've literally ate at this place before, watched my GPS the whole time. But because something as little as me saying that I'm going to try to get there without looking at the GPS, again, me verbalizing this is even funny in my head. But I was motivated. I was enthusiastic to try to figure it out because I wanted to see if I can get there, right? Same pathway, same places that we'd have been before, but level of enthusiasm is different. But not only that, when we were leaving, we were like, okay, we're going to go to get some ice cream after we ate, right? And so because I realized where I was at because of the enthusiasm that I had to drive there, I was like, well, this might be this street. So let me just try to see if I can go straight down this street and get me to where I'm trying to get to. And funny enough, it was where I thought we were at. And so I was even, now imagine, I really was as excited as I sound right now. Just to drive places that I've driven a ton of times, but just simply enough, me not relying on the GPS, which opened me up to more, me saying, okay, let me just try this. And again, same pathway I've drove a million times. I literally was elated and excited about the journey. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, so with that, because I love that and I agree, like just it's something new about that. I don't know, it just brings so much enthusiasm into it. What about something that like you prejudged as you just don't want to do it, but it has to be done? Like taxes are due tomorrow. I haven't done mine. I'm about to do it today. But taxes are due tomorrow. Something like taxes. How can you create enthusiasm if you're doing your own taxes, or even if you have to go get them done? What would be the process? Because you follow the same thing. Could you look for the newness in it? Is there something extra that could be added to this equation?
See, this is tricky. And the only reason I say this is tricky, which, first of all, to answer your question, I think that, yes, you can. But there's a level of it that I feel like we don't feel like we have enough time to try to figure out. So what I mean by that is, if I 100% told you that if you read through the entire tax form, you'll find some credits that you never got before, right? And that you were going to get more money. Now, the deal is, everybody would, you would assume, be excited to just be like, okay, I'm enthused to do this because I'm gonna get more money back. Right. Well, that's the part that makes it challenging, because there's no way to quantify that, in a sense, number one. And then number two, there's little jargon that's going to pop up that's going to dissuade people from doing it. And so not being enthusiastic about expanding your knowledge is a thing. It's just really a thing. And I get it, you know, the mindset might be, you know, we have people around that do these things, so that way we don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But it's something as simple as, you know, every year we get to protest our taxes on our home, right? It is the simplest thing to do, bro. Like, it is literally the simplest thing to do. And I literally tell every single person that I know, like, hey, protest your taxes, protest these much. And again, because I know what the paperwork is and I've seen it a million times, it's nothing for me to go in there and sign my name. But people will not do it because of jargon. And the only reason for me I do it is because now every year I'm enthusiastic on how much I can get them to lower my taxes, right? So, but that's also with me being able to overcome me thinking that I don't understand what the language is. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. What's funny is I'm laughing because last year I had asked you like what to say to, you know, to dispute my taxes or to get it to be lowered. And you told me what to say. And I said it and I got them lowered. So this year I didn't want to bother you. So I went to ChatGPT. I was like, man, it's called something to get them to lower. And they told me it's a house cost analysis or whatever. And I was like, yeah. Damn, I went to the forum. My realtor told me, blah, 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 blah. And I just used the ChatGPT. And I felt good the entire way about it. And I feel enthusiastic knowing that they are going to lower my my property taxes, which is cool. I love that. And shout out to him, Bob, real quick.
But to your point, though, right?
Yeah.
Imagine, I know that you're a technical person. I know that you will figure stuff like this out. But think about the roadblock that you felt when you didn't want to ask me, right? That's number one. So number one, I'm gonna tell you can always ask me, bro. Yeah. Come on, bro. Come on. Like, you already know what it is. That's neither here nor there. But nonetheless, think about the roadblock that you had when you decided, dang, I wasn't going to ask me. Most people at that roadblock, whether it be taxes, whether it be, you know, protesting, you know, home taxes, that's when they stop. And so that's when there's no lack of, and there, that's when the enthusiasm completely goes out the door, instead of saying, man, if I can push through this, I'm going to save myself $10,000. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just that learning curve aspect of it is a big deal. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. So, yeah, even with that, like I knew I could fall back by asking you, but it's one of those things where it's like, did you even try? And I was like, well, at least let me try to see if I can find what it's called, because I knew that I could get the language. I could just make up some language from there. And I was able to find it with ease. And yeah, I know I'm coming to you, but appreciate that. And so the thing is, I like what you said. If you could just pose another question to yourself, like, is there another way to look at this? Or is there a way to get around this, even in a fun way? Or if it's something that you want, could you be willing to like just try any, like throw a dart at it? Be like, ooh, this is the most absurd thing that I can do to get this. Let's see if it works, because I'm going to stop anyway. So I might as well do something that doesn't burden me too much, but could have some fun to it.
Look, bro, I'm going to tell you, growing up, going to the club, I talk to my wife about this all the time. going to the club is not my thing. You know, it just really wasn't my thing. We did it literally for business purposes, as we were younger. And one of the reasons why, especially going with a lot of people, one of the reasons why I was never enthused to go to the club is because I could never understand why people go to the club to talk. Like, you're going in the club and then you want to yell at me in my ear to tell me stuff that you can just tell me later on whenever we're not here or whatever. But okay, nonetheless. So I was never enthused to go, bro. I just would be like, I don't want to go there to talk. I can talk to you at home. You know what I'm saying? So the game that I used to always play with myself was, I'm going to see how many times I can say yes to people and not know what they're saying and they be okay. So whenever I would be there, and again, I would be excited to do this. I'd be like, mm-hmm. They'd be like, man, Troy, I'd be like, mm-hmm. And nobody could ever get it, but it used to crack me up. So now whenever I went to the club, I was enthusiastic because I wanted to see how funny it was going to be to me just to witness how people really don't even want to talk to me in the club. They just want to talk, period, right? So again, just changing the dynamic of what I thought about it kind of opened up my doors for me. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I want to read what M. Lau said. Never forget your life goals.
Real talk. Yeah. Real talk. Shouts out.
I'm thinking, can that play into enthusiasm? Because, so let me say this. So, like, right now, in this particular moment, on this particular day, I'm filled with enthusiasm. But it's also because there was pre-planning involved in this. Like today was a start day for me. Like last week, I kind of rested from a lot of stuff because I've been going hard all year. And I was like, just going to rest. I'm chill this last week. I think that's when the eclipse happened, everything. It was the energy of just relax and stuff. And because of that, I was like, Sunday, I'm going hard. Like, even when we talked about last week, one day, you know, going hard, one day not, like, this was going to be my super go hard day. And it has been so far. I've accomplished so much and it's only noon. I'm grateful because it's easy to talk about enthusiasm right now, but I can't even, I don't know if I considered my life goals or I considered just where I am now, like what the space that I want to be in now. And I think that played more of a role than life goals, but like they kind of coincide, but that's an interesting thought. But go ahead.
So I'm going to read what In the House said in just 1 second, but I want to add to the life goal conversation.
Yeah.
And the reason why I want to add to it is because I like it and I'm also kind of torn by it. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. I like it because the reality of it is life goals tend to, I want to say generally, you stay enthusiastic about them for a lot of the time because a life goal doesn't have a clear pathway all the time. And figuring out the pathway, sometimes if you're open to figuring out the pathway when it's, I guess, it's fresh to you, a life goal, you're always enthusiastic because you're trying to narrow things down. It's just that once you actually narrowed it down to your pathway that you've decided on, which doesn't mean it's the only pathway, but once it's narrowed down, that's when the mundaneness starts to come into play, meaning like, oh, I got to do this the same way over and over again. So I think that as long as you can stay fresh in your life goal and realize that even though you've developed a pathway, that's not the only pathway. You can pivot and change the direction by which you're going to get there. I think that you can kind of stay motivated and enthusiastic along the way. That's just my thoughts anyway. And then to what In the House 15 said, motivation to me, what I need to do. I need to go to work, but I am not motivated. But if it's the Friday for a 3-day holiday weekend, then I have enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Motivation is hard when results is unknown. Yeah. So number one, I 100% am with you when it's the motivation to go to work and it's something that you've already deemed is not something that's fun. And that's where I want to go back to defining what it is and what it looks like and why it looks that way to you. But I will also tell you that enthusiasm doesn't have a final description either, like what it equates to, because we can't neither tell when we're enthusiastic or motivated what the results will be for something until we get there. So I'll say that to say that. Now back to the being motivated and how you're defining it at work. I don't know how to encourage or tell somebody to define work as fun. But what I will tell you is when I was actually going into my corporate job on a daily basis, I would define work as not fun in the very beginning until I started to break down what it was that I didn't like. And so when I say that is, I started to realize that number one, I hated being in traffic. So that was the start of my day of going to work. And I included that all in work. And so the first thing I had to do was I had to decide that riding in traffic was not something that I hated. And the way that I did that was I said, well, during traffic time, that's when I can make my calls. That's when I can do my Marco Polos. That's when I can write my songs that I like. That's when I can be a creative. Then once I got beyond the traffic and realized, well, dang, traffic is a time for opportunity. Now I started thinking about, okay, well, I still don't like work because my boss be tripping. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Then I had to really realize, okay, when I went to work the last week, what did my boss do to trip with me? Oh, well, he was mad because I took an extra break. So I took an extra break. Okay, cool. Well, what can I do in order to alleviate this situation so that way I'm not mad at him for me taking another break? And so it's just all of these different layers, and to the point where I found out, well, dang, my work is really not hard. And the one thing I do love here is I love the people. And so when I started to look at it, like, I love going to work. Again, traffic was not a problem anymore. I love going to work because I love the people. Then my entire day shifted, because the first thing that I did when I got to work was I went and told everybody good morning. And why? It's just because it made me feel good. And then not only that, what I was giving off to people was reciprocated back to me because everybody wanted to talk to me. And so now there could be a balance of how much work you're doing versus how much you're talking. But nonetheless, the enthusiasm for work for myself completely changed. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. If I can remember back correctly, I don't know if I'd advise this for people, because you can do this at your own risk. how I made work fun was, one, I just followed. I did. Yeah, I started following my passion. I followed what was fun. So, for example, I used to get to work like early, like 6, so I can leave at 3 and be out of there. But I started getting to work late, like later and later, sometimes 9, sometimes 9:30, sometimes even 10. Just because I knew I had to go to work or whatever, I would do the stuff I needed to do before. And I was like, I don't feel like going right now. And then I would go, but it made it more enjoyable because I come in all relaxed. And a lot of people didn't mind. Like, nobody minded that I wasn't there on time. Then like let's say some work came down the pipeline that I just didn't feel like doing, I wouldn't do it. In some kind of way, it will magically get done before I even needed the enthusiasm to do it. And again, the more I did this, I was like, how is this happening? Because I'm like the only one who can make this get done to do this. But it kept happening, which was, I don't know, it just made it fun. But I still did certain work and I did it well. So like, they couldn't say anything. As long as I did my work good and top notch, yes, everything was all good. But it's interesting now that we say that, is that, yeah, I was following my passion even at work. If there was a conversation I wanted to have, I would go have it. If there's something that I didn't like that I wanted to address, I would address it. If there's work I didn't want to do, I just didn't do it. And it made work an enjoyable space, so much so that I actually enjoyed going to work. I was like, man, I like work now. It's strange, which happened to be the time when I could finally quit too. So that was cool. But I want to read what Himlau said real quick. A man dies for the first time the day he loses his enthusiasm. Honoré del Balzac.
Yeah, man. But again, the funny thing is about that dying comment, you know what I'm saying? When I was riding to work all those mornings, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Like, no motivation, no enthusiasm, and literally just being pulled along like a zombie. I'm just going because I have to go. And again, that goes back to the point of me saying that we start to devalue moments, right? I didn't realize how valuable the moments that I had in my car could have been to me. So because I devalued them, or I didn't give them the appropriate amount of attention and love that I should have, I missed the opportunity to have the creative time for myself. I missed it. Like, it wasn't. Oh, go ahead, Jay.
But what would happen if you were like, okay, I don't feel like going to work, and you just turned around and went home? Like what realistically would happen?
Well, I'm going to tell you what realistically was happen because I had literally turned around and went home before. And the problem with it is if I was able to, how you do anything is how you do everything. Mm-hmm. We're going to start there, right? There was a behavior for myself of not appreciating moments, right? Not being able to value moments. So what happened when I turned around and went home, I went there because I didn't want to go do something that I didn't want to do. But because I was guilting myself about not going or all the ramifications of not going, I still was not valuing the time that I had when I was at home. I still devalued it in any value because I was too busy defining what me being at home meant. Oh, now I'm gonna have to deal with my boss when I go back. Oh, I'm gonna have more work. I'm still gonna have to get in traffic tomorrow. And man, if I watch this show now, I'm gonna be doing this, thinking about this. And so now the amount of love that I should have for just being in that space has dissipated. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay. I love that. So it's like no matter what you chose, you had no enthusiasm even to go home. And the reason I ask that is because I've decided not to go sometimes too, even midway. Like, I'm not going today. But I had the time of my life, like not going to work, like being at home or whatever. And it led to me being enthused about going the next day because it's like, okay, I got to go now. So let me go ahead and go and do this that needs to be done. But without me turning around and choosing myself or choosing my passion in that moment, that enthusiasm wouldn't have been there. So is there in your story where you turned around and you still guilted yourself, would it have been easy to just let go of the guilt or was there something drawn to it that kept you in that space?
And that's why I said that I don't know if it was just a practice and just routine because I was already in the wrong mindset. You get what I'm saying? I can tell you about a time where I had the enthusiasm and how it went. And so much so, I mean, if you were to search me on YouTube or something, there's a video where I did it. So one day I went to work, just letting you know. Again, I always had this mindset of, I don't want to be here. My boss always messing with me. I went to work wearing some Jordans, right? I know that I can't wear no Jordans. But because I'm just so unenthusiastic about doing anything, I'm just like, I don't care about nothing, right? So when I got to work, my boss ends up coming to me midday. I worked far away, probably like 45 minutes away. And he came up to me and was like, man, you can't wear those shoes up here, bro. Like, you got to go home, you know what I'm saying, and change. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, cool. And so now I'm real furious. I really hate this job. I have a reverse enthusiasm, right? I'm on some different stuff, right? And then I told myself in that moment, I had to look at it different. In that moment, I was just recognizing, okay, Troy, you know what? You really can't trip on him. You did wear the shoes. You can't trip on how far your house is. You already knew how far the house was. And so I told myself, I didn't have to come back to work that day. I said, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home. I'm going to change shoes. I'm going to stop making up reasons for myself to be upset. This is what I told myself. I literally went and did a Facebook Live and I talked about not creating unrealistic things, not creating, you know, these narratives that in turn don't motivate you or make you enthusiastic. So I said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to change shoes and I'm going to go back to work and I'm going to do the good job that I know that I can do. Right. And so in that moment, I was able to stop being mad, number one, because I was changing the gravity of the moment for myself. And then I was enthusiastic to show myself that I was bigger than what I was acting. And so by me going home, changing shoes, my level of enthusiasm changed because I wasn't looking at work as a place that was not, that was trying to harm me. And so because of that, I was like, okay, when I go back to work, now this is the message that I'm about to give everybody. Now I'm motivated and I'm enthused because I've changed internally how I felt about it. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and funny too, you had enthusiasm before that about hating your job.
Yeah.
We don't realize the enthusiasm was there. It was just directed at something different. I heard a quote or a short story by Abraham Hicks. And if y'all don't know who that is, that's someone who challenges, who channels like a collective. But anyway, she was saying that I don't know if this is in regards to enthusiasm or just momentum. Say like a picture of a car on the hill and it starts to go down. Well, when it first starts, you could probably get in front of it and stop it. But if you wait till it gets down to the bottom of the hill and you step in front, you're probably going to get ran over. And the point she was making is start as early as possible. Start when you first wake up. Because when you first wake up, like you have a clean slate, everything is clear and you can get your mind right. Like we talked about last week, affirmations, how you say, you know, you are amazing. Like start, set your intentions when you first wake up and you can get the momentum going in that direction so that everything has to just fall under it. Like it get everything gets ran over by the momentum you set. But it's a little bit tougher when you wait to the middle of the day when you find yourself in it, unless you consciously do what you did where you had like a pause break and you really looked at things. And I know from experience, that's not always easy to do when you're in it. But even perhaps you going home what gave you that timeout space as well. So just interesting.
Bro, so I want to talk about I love that analogy about stopping the car at the top of the hill and then stopping it at the bottom. And I'm going to tell you about this past week. We literally just came off of a 3-day fast, and a 3-day fast, we only drunk water. And if you've ever done the fast with us before, even heard a conversation before, one of the things that I've kind of talked or alluded to was your energy levels are different. You know, you feel differently because you're not doing the same thing. So you're supposed to feel different, but you know, your energy levels are different. And so one of the things that I challenged myself at the beginning of the fast, because I'm trying to catch the car at the beginning of the hill, is one thing me and my wife say all the time, don't be moody. And I always be energetic. I always be ready for the challenge. And so during this fast on day two, I told you, my wife, she hit me up on her way to go get the kids from school. It was 3:00. She has to be at the school by like 3:20. And so we got, you know, multiple cars, of course, at the house. And I was like, she called me and was like, Troy, the tire went flat. And so my mind, I'm like, the tire went flat like now while you're like halfway to the school, or was it flat before you left? Right. Tell me what's going on. She's like, well, I didn't feel it at first, but it's flat now. So here's where the mental challenge comes into play. I'm fasting. I've told myself I have more energy than I'm allowing myself to believe, and I can do anything through this. So now, mind you, this is me being ahead of the time for things that might come up. I will tell you, I added one more level to that. I was like, okay, the tire place is closed at 5. I have to be able to get here, change the tire, take the tire to the tire place, and go back and put it on by all of this time. And so now I have all this enthusiasm and motivation because of preset cursors that I set for myself prior to the fast, that I did it without hesitation. I just literally got up, went to the place, jacked up the car, took the tire off, you know, did everything that I need to do and got it back and got home with it by 5:00. And not only that, I was happy about it. You know, I was in love with myself because I was able to do something that I felt like I couldn't have done prior to me setting the stage for myself. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I love that too, because fasting can be hard if you don't have a mindset that nothing's going to bother me. I'm going to be all right. And I learned that from experience, because I've had some tough fasts as well, where that is just like a nail in the coffin. Like, man, this too? This, you know, it could go down a spiral. So, but I think the key thing is here that I'm realizing too is enthusiasm is always there. It's always here, I should say. But it's how we're directing it and what we're giving power to. Like if we're giving power to something over us, saying this has the power to control my mood, well, we have enthusiasm for that thing without even realizing it. And if we can direct it toward us and what we want to do, then that's what it is. It's directed at something we don't want to do versus what we want to do. All we got to do is redirect it and it could change our mood drastically.
And so the question is, where is your enthusiasm directed? And then how do you redirect it? Or because again, a part of it is recognizing that you have enthusiasm in a negative way, right? Like I told you, going to work, like you can be enthused to cut somebody off in traffic. You could be like, next person that do this to me, it's going down. I know this lane is ending up here at the front. I know it's ending. They're not getting in front of me. I promise you, I'm gonna ride so close to this car in front of me, so that way you cannot get over. You gonna have to wait. Like that enthusiasm. Like you're right. We will point enthusiasm in places that we don't need to. But again, you don't even recognize you're doing that, because even me, given the scenario that I just gave, I've done that a million times. I've done that literally a million times. They're not getting over. I can see how far ahead this mug is. Y'all gonna have to get behind me. And I would be excited to get to the front. It's not gonna happen today, player. It's not happening today. So, you know, how do you recognize that when you're just feeling like you're just living?
Yeah. I think the key thing is, one, notice you always have enthusiasm. Period. Yeah. You always have it. I've always had a question, right? Like, similar to this, what makes us tired? And I'll go into what I mean. Like, I've had times where my mind wasn't tired, but my body was tired. I had times where my body was tired. I mean, it wasn't tired, but my mind felt tired. And even when we go to sleep, like, I dream. So my mind is always going. So it's like, what is actually tired? And I think when you get tired is when you have enthusiasm in places where it shouldn't be, or in places that don't align with what you want. And again, to use this example, I told you during the fast, I probably only slept a total of 7 hours in the 72-hour fast we did. Felt great about it, felt good. But maybe I put undue pressure on the foods that I eat. So I had some things there that made me drain. And because at the same time that I couldn't medicate myself with food, I was free to explore other avenues that I've never explored before. And I'm not saying fasting is the way to explore these things, but I'm just saying, keep in mind where you're putting your focus and energy and why you're doing certain things. Like, you could be doing certain things to numb other feelings. Like, ooh, I'm enthused about doing this, but I don't feel like I can do it now. So I have to numb this feeling so I won't feel the pain of not feeling like I can do it. And I say all this to say that, no, follow your enthusiasm in a sense. Follow it, or follow your passion, and let that ignite the enthusiasm within, the fire within.
And again, I will 100% co-sign what Jay Clay says. Follow your enthusiasm, and then allow that to ignite the enthusiasm within. But what I would tell you is, if you are not sure of the pathway, create some enthusiasm. And the reason why I say that is because it's kind of where I started out at the very beginning. And this is to come back to say, number one, that enthusiasm is always there, but it's focused somewhere that you don't recognize. So when I say create the enthusiasm or ignite the enthusiasm, it could be something that you don't recognize that you have enthusiasm for. So give it enthusiasm and allow it to open up the pathway to ignite what I would call true enthusiasm, or move it from where it's currently directed. Because again, riding in a car on the way to work in traffic, I could be the person to say, I'm not letting anybody get over, or I'm gonna see how many people I can get over. And then allow that to be the game that I play with myself in order to see if I'm looking at things correctly. Because I'll go ahead, Jay.
So what would you say if, like, my life, I have the same, all my days are the exact same. I do the same stuff, eat the same food, see the same people, do everything the same. I just accepted this is just what life is. I'm gonna do it. Like what would you say to that person who wants to kind of break free of, like, they want to, they don't know they want to, but they, like, what would you say to them?
Well, so I would say, well, first of all, I think it's a thing at a time. Because if you feel like your entire life is the same and it never changes, I think that it's impossible to show somebody that's not willing to look that their life is different, that it's different, right? So when I say take it one thing at a time, you do stuff like, so you eat bananas every day. Let me put some salt on your banana. Let me just put a little salt on your banana just today, right? And let's just start eating salt on your banana every day. I know it's sounding crazy, but I'm just saying, like, that's somebody that's not looking at anything around them anymore at all. So I think the way that you do that is by starting to change the little things. Like I said, for myself, I can drive the same way to school every day. There's 10 different ways that I can drive them to school. But if I drive the same way every day, I don't see that there's a Shipley's donut on Matlock And the reality of it is, somewhere in the back of my mind, I always wanted to get a Shipley donut, but I just never got that mug because I never, and not only that, I never knew there was one along the pathway. So if I start driving that pathway every day, that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop at Shipley's. But guess what? I'm going to think of stopping at Shipley's. And guess what I wasn't doing when I was driving the other way? I never thought about stopping at Shipley's. So now my life has gotten a little bit more interesting. All right. So I think that changing small things over time would be the way. And that way you can actually start to open yourself up to something new. I was never going to eat a tomato, bro, ever, until I started eating pico. I just wasn't. I hate tomatoes. And I ate pico one day and I was like, well, maybe I don't like tomatoes. I mean, maybe I do like tomatoes. I don't know. I still haven't ate a tomato because I just think that eating a whole tomato is just not my thing. But guess what? I do eat pico on a consistent basis. Go ahead, Jay.
What's funny about that is, and I say that a lot, it was funny, but it sounds funny, is the small things making big changes. I'm plant-based now, and I've been that way for like 10-plus years now. You know what led to that? My clippers breaking, and I needed new clippers, which is the craziest thing that I think about, because I went on YouTube. I was like, what clippers where I don't get razor bumps? And the person was like, it was a guy, shaved, black guy, and he had the smoothest skin I ever seen. And I never, ever noticed any man's skin ever in life.
Yeah.
How does he have no bumps or nothing? He was like, it has nothing to do with your razor. It has everything to do with your diet. And I was like, what? Bumps? And it was very foreign to me. But that little willingness to just try it out has led to this thing where I could probably shave with anything, with any instrument. I would never, ever get razor bumps again. But I just wanted to point that out to say, yeah, a small change can have a big impact. So I love that you said that.
Bro, listen to me. It's so many things that have dominoed in my life because of small things. And again, I can use food as the example just because it's something that I think that we all have maybe been witness to at some point. But like one day I decided to, now mind you, there was a time where I had never ate a mango ever. I knew mangoes were fruit. There's a lot of fruit that I haven't tried in my life, right? But one day I just decided, let me try this mango smoothie at McDonald's, right? And then when I tried the mango smoothie, I was like, dang, mango's good. So then I was like, okay, well, let me try mango this. Let me try mango that. And then I started incorporating mangoes into what I was eating because I was never going to go get the mango fruit salad because I just didn't want no mango. I didn't know. Everything that I do is the same. But the one thing that I changed opened up an entire door to a bunch of different things. It's the same thing with guacamole, bro. Somewhere when I was a kid, I decided guacamole was nasty. Ugh, it is nasty. It just looked nasty. It's mushy. Just, I don't know what it was. So that mug was not a part of my life. And it was never going to be a part of my life. And then I think me and you, back when you first started going, you know, raw, I think that I did something where I was only going to eat fruits and vegetables for 45 days. Maybe in Daniel fast or something. I don't know. And so I kept eating the same things every day. And I was like, I don't like eating the same thing every day. And so I literally got some guacamole from Taco Bueno. And I was like, I guess let me just try it today. And then I fell in love, bro. Like, now, mind you, fasting was not a thing. That was done, which opened up the door to me trying that, which was not a thing, which opened up the door to me trying a bunch of other different things because of me eating guacamole and pico now, because it's getting outside of what you're doing and changing small things in order to be able to see it, because you gain enthusiasm when you do that. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. So, okay. If we were to summarize, because I know we're getting low on time, all the steps to harness that enthusiasm is, one, recognize that you have it. Like, it's no way it'll fade. You always have that enthusiasm. You just might be directing it in the wrong place. Two, it's doing something new or making small changes from your normal routine. And I feel like it was the third thing we said. What else did we say?
I don't know what the third thing is, but this is, I want to add to those things. Don't judge your new decision. Don't judge your new decision. And the reason why I say that is, and again, I assume that people are like me. I don't know. You know, the reason why we do this is because we are trying to understand our own perfection. But when I say don't judge the new decision, there have been times when I decided that I was going to do something different. And I didn't get the enthusiasm that I thought what I was gonna have. I thought I was gonna have because I judged my decision like, man, you're only doing this because of this, or this is gonna be stupid. You know, people are gonna look at it this way, or you know, just framing things in a way that are not beneficial to me. If you're going to pass a judgment on something that you're doing different, give yourself all the opportunity to be something that you love. So that way you can be open to the enthusiasm. So again, like I'm riding in traffic today, but today is going to be a better day because while I'm in traffic, I'm going to be able to make all my morning calls and tell everybody I love them. And that way everybody's day can start out better, which in turn is going to start your day out better. And then now you look, go ahead, Jay.
Well, I was going to say, I remember the other two things. The first is start when you first wake up, like prepare for like tomorrow when you first wake up, get your mind right, set your intention. Like it's going to make your whole day easier. And the last thing or the other thing was go through the motions, like just start moving in the direction, even though you might not know what enthusiasm looks like in that thing, just start going through the motions like you have enthusiasm and it'll trigger something that will make you have the real thing.
Look, when we was going through COVID, one thing I told you that I was doing at that time was every single time we ate out, which we ate out a lot during COVID, right? Every single time I ate out, whenever I ordered something from any fast food restaurant or restaurant, I always got something different. Now, you can imagine going to Sonic for 20 years, eating the same thing. There is no enthusiasm. You just do it out of routine and repetition. Let me get a supersonic jalapeno cheeseburger. And I mean, of course, I like it, but am I really enthused to eat it or am I just eating it because that's what's there? And so what happened was I started looking forward to eating the places that I ate all the time. Well, what is it going to be today? And I was enthusiastic about the food that I was going to eat. I was even enthusiastic about going back to the thing that I ate all the time because I wanted to see the contrast to compare it to what I was trying, you know, going forward. So go ahead, Jay.
Quick question about that, because I know sometimes people, they wouldn't do something new for fear that they wouldn't like it. Did you ever experience something that you didn't like? And how did that
I did. It made me appreciate the thing that I did like, or the things that I did like, because I would always feel like I wouldn't have never tried these other things had I had this mentality. Look, another thing that I, during COVID, I ate a sourdough jack when I was a kid. I never liked the sourdough bread after that. I just didn't like it. And then when we were in COVID, when I was saying I was going to give everything else a try again, they had this sourdough queso sandwich. It's one of my favorite sandwiches there now. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, man. And that comes because of my enthusiasm to see the world in a new light, the world that I currently live in. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. So this brings us to the end. You got enthusiasm, man. Like, and we need to start using it in the way that we want instead of not, just for lack of better words. And I appreciate everybody rocking with us. I appreciate everybody that's here today that shared their comments. If you come up with anything new, still leave it in the comments for those that's catching the re-show. If you found this helpful at all, hit that share button, like button, share with people you know would love it. You got anything to say, Troy, before I fade everyone out?
Just remember that y'all are perfect. That's what I want you to know. And you can craft this thing however you want to. And you can create in the infuego, the fire, the all of that inside of yourself and let it be. You got to let it burn. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And just remember, you're a perfect creation made by a perfect creator. So you might as well accept your perfection and enter perfect mode.
Yeah. If I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real, so let's be perfect.
Perfect mode! Everything, anything, perfect mode. Perfect mode. perfect, perfect, perfect.